Well, eventually, the people that were renting us that house decided it was probably not the best. They had too many complaints from the church.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. And the guy we were renting it from was, what's the guy that wrote the book, God is Dead?
Altizer.
That's who it was. Yeah. So,
he's probably in hot water with the church as it was.
Probably
coming
so.
Up with those ideas.
But it was after we had to get out of there. I think I came back here to live with my parents. This is where I grew up, in this house right here. I think I lived with my parents for a while. And then I had a friend that lived down on Charles Island. I lived with him for a while. And then I got the house out on Covington Highway. And that was, I got it in 67, I think. And kept it through most of 68. But one of my close friends, he went to California. He didn't have anything to do hardly with the house out here. He went to California for I don't know how long. And he did the thing that you see in the movies, that he did it. He slept on the floor of the newspaper?
Haight-Ashbury.
Huh?
Haight-Ashbury, LA Free Press. Something else I can think of.
Well, we could call him. He's in Jacksonville. But he went out there and stayed in the Haight and lived with different people and got him some part-time jobs. And he came back with a .45, and it was a single. And it was by a guy named Jimi Hendrix. And it was Purple Haze. And it hadn't hit the stations yet.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, so you, whatever year that was, when it first came out on a 45, and that, we started listening to that, we got into LSD and so forth, and I discovered that I had people that I knew through college that were at the University of Florida. And they knew all about all kinds of drugs. And they had a bunch of them. So we started going down there. We could buy them a lot cheaper. And we would bring them back up here. And one of the guys that went with me a lot was little Phil's friend that he grew up with. Well, again, we can't use names, I don't guess. So, but this guy's name was Benny. There was a bunch of Bennies around back then, so that's probably safe.
Yeah.
And again, this sounds like this has been copied in stories and movies, but this is absolutely true. We went down there and we picked up some marijuana, I don't know, like a half a pound or a pound, and we picked up some LSD, and the guy said, "You're really going to like this stuff." And he said, "I got to be gone for about 4 or 5 hours. Go ahead and take one and just stay here in my apartment. And, you know, don't go out because you get lost back in here, and you'll enjoy it." So we took one and we smoked a joint and we're listening to music and we're getting zonkered, and all of a sudden this huge snake, about this big around, comes crawling over my leg or my arm or something. This guy had one of these reticulated pythons or something as a pet, and he let it roam free. Even he didn't tell us about that. It was a very nice snake, and we got along fine. I wasn't afraid of snakes. I was an Eagle Scout, by the way. Mm-hmm. And again, I know I'm running off at the mouth. So we enjoyed that down there, and we did whatever it was we were going to do, which was just, you know, a few hundred dollars at the most, not much. And we head back towards Atlanta, and we just thought, well, hell, we'll take another one. That stuff's good, but it don't last all that long. So we each did another one. And we're tootling down the expressway and hallucinating, and all this stuff hit us real good about 50 miles out of Atlanta, somewhere between Macon and Atlanta, when you start seeing a lot of lights, you know. Benny looked at me and he says, "Be careful, man. You almost hit that car." I said, "What are you talking about? You're driving."
That's great.
But that's, I know I've seen that in movies since then. But if I could, if we could find Benny, and I have no idea where he is now, he would, I guarantee you that happened. Neither one of us could decide who, when we had, then we had a long argument about, well, who's got their hands on them? I'm not sure. Is that my hands or your hands? It went on and on and on, you know.
Good trip.
It's amazing we lived through all that.
Yeah.
Well, we did that several times, and I don't know. It's hard to stick events in with. I don't know whether the event happened on the first trip, second trip, third trip, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a dealer whose name was Snoopy. That everybody knew probably up in 68 around the strip. This is all before 69. And we had gone down to, Benny and I had gone down there to Central Florida, University of Florida, and we had picked up some LSD, I don't know what else. And we knew, we were planning, we knew it was colder than hell in Atlanta. So I had this nice, new, thick jacket, and I think we went and stashed most of what we bought, and I had like 500 hits in the pocket, and I was going to try and sell it to this guy, Snoopy, who I knew. I called him, and he said, "Yeah, man, come on over. Show me what you got." So we went over there, and we got there, and it's a damn party. I mean, there's like 15, 20 people there, and I didn't like that at all, because police show up for things like that.
Yeah.
So I knocked on the door, and he, "Yeah, come on in, man, come on in." Of course, he had the heat up, it was hotter than hell, and then I took my coat off, and we were talking, and he said he got to try to check out this reefer and stuff, and so we're smoking a reefer. About that time, police bust in. And they patting everybody down, you know. I didn't have anything on me. And then they said, well, all of a sudden one of the cops said, "Hey, look at this jacket. Look what's in this jacket." And, "Oh, man, we got the jackpot now. Look at all this. What is this? This is LSD. Look at all this LSD. All right, whose coat is this?" Nobody says a word. And they say, "Okay, well, everybody come claim their coat." Everybody claimed the coat except me and another guy who was with me. And he didn't have on a coat. And they said, "This has got to be your coat. You're about the only person that fit here." I said, "Oh, that's not my coat." "Well, how come you don't have a coat?" I said, "We just came from Florida." And they couldn't prove that that was my coat. Now, today they probably could, you know, with DNA and all this. But they decided they just couldn't prove it. And they just let me go. And that's just another little thing that sticks in my mind. We just walked right out of there.
Close call.
Uh-huh.